hear people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight, griping about the way things ought to be. Tonight I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my countrymen, they're walking on the fight beside me. Yeah, walking on the fight beside me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting in the fog that dies me. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my country. Just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fight beside me. Yeah, walking on the fight beside me. Running down the way of life, I'm if you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be warned. When you run down my country, man, you're walking on the fight beside me. Yeah, walking on the fight beside me. Run down the way of life, I'm fighting in the fog that I keep. If you don't love it, leave it. You run down my country, man, you walking on right beside me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fight beside of me, and that's the name of this program here on AltRightTV.com or WhiteResistanceRadio.com. You can reach us through other channels. This is Paul Fromm. Lots more news and views for our people, and of course those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia and New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening this morning in the European heartland. One of the really interesting things that has happened recently is the way people are beaten up on and mistreated at major stores. The COVID virus has become, in my opinion, an excuse for mistreatment of people, laziness, just plain laziness, and in many cases, reduced service or no service, and we of course are supposed to very blithely accept the universal excuse, COVID virus. Well, smart people are no longer doing that. Before I give you just one of the most recent outrages on this front, this is Sunday, the 23rd of August, and at this point the ballots are being counted as of 5 o'clock last night. That was the deadline, but as today the ballots are being counted for the leadership of the Conservative Party of Canada, and certainly the man that I'm backing is Derek Sloan. Now Derek Sloan has in many ways come out of the woodwork to run a very strong campaign as a populist, or as he would put it, a true conservative. And I'm very impressed with his campaign, and this is what he sent out. He says I'm sending you this op-ed I wrote and that has just been published by the CBC, as I want to make sure you see it. I entered this race because conservatives deserve and Canadians need a leader who will never apologize for being conservative and never apologize for putting Canada first. Too often conservatives have said the right thing, but have later backed down or apologized under pressure. In our divided age, anything worth saying will be criticized by someone. And if our goal is to please everyone, we as politicians ought to find a different career. It's quite true. Canada needs boldness, assertiveness, and courage. Canada can no longer go along to get along and must chart its own course in an uncertain world and during uncertain times. I propose a simple Canada First policy that prioritizes national sovereignty, energy independence, environmental stewardship, as opposed to climate alarmism, and civil liberties, including parents' rights. I'm unashamed of this platform, says Derek Sloan. I believe our immigration policy must serve Canada's needs first. I'm unafraid to suggest we ought to reduce our immigration levels to bring us in line with immigration levels in other developed countries. This would mean reducing annual immigration from about 350,000 per year to 150,000 per year. This will have positive effects on middle-class wages and housing prices in our biggest cities. And this is so, you know, painfully obvious. I will not apologize for being adamantly against the Paris Agreement. The Paris Agreement enables China, India, and other countries to continue to expand their emissions until 2030, whereas Canada has committed to reducing its emissions by 30% during this period. Not only will this agreement do nothing for the environment, it will help to transfer more manufacturing to China, an outcome we need as much as we need a noose around our collective necks. I'm not afraid to question our government's response to the COVID-19 pandemic. Canadians are rightly concerned with Canada's involvement with Chinese companies connected to the Chinese Communist Party to develop vaccines to fight COVID-19. They are right to wonder why social media is banning videos of doctors around the world who are touting alternative, cheaper, and effective treatments to COVID-19. I will also support free speech, freedom of inquiry, and the right of peaceful dissent. An engaged citizenry is a powerful citizenry. On the contrary, a nation of sheep will inevitably be governed by wolves. I mean, I couldn't have said it better myself. You know, those who will give up essential liberties for safety, I'm pretty sure it was Jefferson Davis, I mean, it was Thomas Jefferson who said this, will end up with neither, and deserve neither. And we've certainly seen this throughout the COVID crisis. Back to Derek Sloan's vision for Canada. I will always be a champion of Canadian energy. It's absolutely hypocritical to suggest that placing additional burdens on our energy sector while we simultaneously import millions of dollars daily of foreign oil is environmentally friendly. We are losing billions of dollars annually because we are forced to sell our oil at massive discounts to the U.S., while our East Coast refineries are using Saudi and other sources of oil that are nowhere near Canadian standards of environmentally sound extraction, nor remotely close to our freedom-loving governing approach. And this is the bouncing off the wall moronic idiocy of these of the opposition to pipelines, which has characterized so many of the so-called environmentalists, including the Prime Minister, the refusal to build the Eastern Pipeline, which would have largely expanded an existing pipeline and would have taken Alberta oil to the big refineries on the East Coast. Actually, well, I should say the the big refinery in St. John, New Brunswick, would have been an unmitigated benefit for Canada. More employment in high-paying jobs in an area of high unemployment, namely New Brunswick, using our own oil, and therefore getting maximum bang for the buck. Instead of importing foreign oil from unreliable places, or places that don't share our values, instead of doing that, we would be using Canadian oil, so getting keeping the money within Canada. Just hard to see this as anything but a huge benefit. The oil still gets processed. It's not as though we won't build our pipelines, so that'll help shut down the carbon industry. No, the carbon industry goes on. It's just that foreigners get the bulk of the benefit. Duh, that was pretty smart. Anyway, if it weren't so sad, it would be almost funny. Derek Sloan continues. During my first 100 days as Prime Minister, I will follow through on the promises I put forward in my campaign. I will reverse the Liberal gun grab. I will cease funding the World Health Organization. I will pull Canada out of the Paris Agreement. I will scrap the carbon tax and repeal bills C69, C48. These were passed in the previous parliament. Trudeau's militantly anti-oil legislation. So a really good platform that stands for something. And this is a Conservative leadership candidate, Derek Sloan, and the ballots are being counted today. I will appoint a new chief public health officer to guide us out of this pandemic. I will introduce legislation to prevent any level of government from making mask wearing or vaccines mandatory. I will not permit a general economy destroying lockdown again. I've advocated for many other things, and I will never forsake those values. I'm an implacable advocate for the Canadian people and will never sacrifice their personal freedoms. I will end social media censorship and will promote a truly free marketplace of ideas and opinions in Canada. I will be an untiring advocate for medical choice and autonomy. I will never sacrifice the principles that got me this far, and I'm an unabashed Canadian patriot who will always put Canadians first, whatever the sacrifice, whatever the cost. On that, you have my word. God bless you, and God bless Canada. Derek Sloan. A moving and very appealing platform or statement. And, you know, very often political statements or political platforms are a sorry mix of the bland or the vague. You know, it's hard to pin people down to the vague, and that's very often done quite deliberately. So you appear to be on a person's side, but you haven't really said anything very very specific, and that's the exact opposite of what Derek Sloan has done. I'm very impressed. The next story I'd like to look at is a shocker that came to me Thursday night from a good friend, a free speech activist in British Columbia. Her name is Heather Gillies. Uh, And this is arrested at Walmart. Now, you've got to understand who Heather is. Heather's a lady in her, really awful on women's ages, but I'm going to say her very late 50s or early 60s. Very pretty, nicely pulled together lady. Presents well. Okay. Arrest on August 19th at Walmart, Guilford Mall, Surrey, B.C. Prior to arrest on August 11th, 2020, I went to another Walmart at Surrey Central Mall. On their loudspeaker, it said, as of August the 12th, it will be mandatory to wear a mask at Walmart. I went to customer service to get clarification about this. I told them I have a letter from my doctor excusing me from wearing a mask, and the clerk went to speak to her supervisor. The clerk came back and told me, it's not mandatory to wear a mask if you do not want to. Now, that probably isn't exactly the policy, but that's what she was told. I think the policy would be, and this is what would be legal, is you do not have to wear a mask if you have a medical condition that would excuse you from that. And I would go a step further. A medical condition does not have to be backed up by a letter from the from your doctor. I've been through that battle in Ontario with a low-level clerk in a grocery store. In a liquor store, and the bottom line is you do not have to even have a medical. You don't have to present a letter, and although that was not done in this case, they do not have the right to say, well, what's your condition? So for people who will stand on their beliefs, and you know that this is an individual challenge. If wearing the mask, you find that degrading, and if it you've got a medical condition that makes, and almost everybody I've talked to who wears them, people are forced to do that in the business world, have complained they find it hard to breathe. In my opinion, is kind of significant. They find it hard to breathe. Heather's story continues. So she went to this first Walmart and was told that it's not mandatory. I told her, why don't you explain to people on your loudspeaker that it's not mandatory? Otherwise, some irate customer could get angry with me because I'm not wearing a mask. And of course, it's that herd control that I think the people manipulators are counting on. That you know, if most people are wearing a mask because they're sheep, or you know, they truly believe what they're being told. That they will then lean on other people. Okay. Well, that's exactly what happened to me 1 week later. An irate male employee calling me a whoring slut because I was not wearing a mask at the Walmart Guilford entranceway. Now that's a different Walmart. This is a person who, out of the blue, had nothing to do with Heather. She hadn't been talking to him. Didn't know him from Adam. Because she's not wearing a mask, called her a whoring slut. Arrested at Walmart on August 19th, 2020, at approximately 4:30 p.m. I went to Walmart Guilford. Upon entering the store, I was told by Sandy, and Sandy's a woman she has known for a long time. She's a Walmart door checker, and I must wear a mask to enter. I explained that Walmart customer service told me that it's not mandatory to wear a mask, and I told Sandy I have a doctor's letter excusing me from a mask. Sandy told me I have to leave without a mask. I asked to speak to customer service, and she said I could not come inside. I asked to speak to the store manager, and Sandy said, there she is. She was just walking through the door behind me. This woman manager was 35 to 40 in age. She had straight blonde hair past her shoulder and medium build. She was when I asked her name, she refused to give it to me. And you know, I've seen this among bureaucracy, the arrogance. And you quickly see that you, as a customer, you're just a commodity. She refused to give it to me. I've never encountered a manager refusing to give their name before. I asked to speak to her so I could tell her about my doctor's letter and explain how Walmart Surrey Place told me mask wearing was not mandated. She told me to leave their store. Get out! We don't need you! I told her I plan on leaving once I get her name. I told her I spend a lot of money in this store and I will never shop here again. She said she does not have time to talk to me, and she scurried off after refusing to give her name. Along with Sandy, that's the Walmart door checker, and the Walmart security doorman, another plainclothes Paladin security manager came up. He said he was the Paladin manager. His first name was Isaac. I kept telling everyone I just want the manager's name and I will leave. Various people were coming up to me. One older woman store clerk told me I'm putting people in danger. She went on about how a relative died from COVID. I just wanted the manager's name so I could leave and deal with this incident in writing when I got home. Sandy, the door checker, who happened to be an older friend of my daughter, had her back to me. I tapped her on the shoulder to get her attention. I told her, do not ever talk to me again. I only mentioned my tapping on Sandy's shoulder because when the police arrived later, they accused me of assaulting people and coughing on them. While every employee was refusing to give me their name, I made it clear I'll never shop here again. A younger man in his 30s came up to me and told me I was embarrassing myself. I asked him if he works here, and he replied yes. After telling me to put on a mask, he called me a whoring slut. A whoring slut. You know, like, what does sex have to do with this? I mean, this is nutty behavior on the part of the employee. Sandy heard it. The security guard heard it. I asked for his name, and he would not give it to me. He's a typical cowardly Canadian. Yet you're quite prepared to call somebody a pretty horrible thing. And I'm one of these people who throws around the term of sexual assault and sexual harassment. But the comment in this case certainly qualifies as that. Sex, frankly, had nothing to do with it. This man calls her that. I did not have my cell phone, so I asked several Walmart employees to call the police. They all refused. This guy then darted off toward the back of the store, and I followed him as he was heading to the area where employees go at the back of the store. I was thinking, this Walmart employee just called me a whoring slut, and I want his name to complain about. He was alone and headed toward the back of the store. When he realized I was still following him, he changed directions, heading toward the front of the store and then over to the food section. At the food section, he teamed up with a female who completely ignored me. She pretended to be shopping with him, but they just threw a few grocery items into a handheld basket before quickly heading to the checkout. By this time, I was yelling to the Walmart employees, can someone call the police for me? I want to know the name of the Walmart employee who had called me a whoring slut. Finally, a Walmart woman employee told me that she would call the police. After this guy paid for his purchases, they headed out the doors into the parking lot. I followed them both out of the Walmart door hoping the police would arrive in time so I could finger this twerp. The police were not outside, so I waited outside Walmart in the parking lot, next to the cars, well away from the Walmart doors. Another reason I stood away from the Walmart doors was the Paladin security man, Isaac, and the Walmart manager were standing there. I wanted nothing more to do with these people. I still believe the guy who called me a whoring slut was in fact a Walmart employee, just as he told me. Maybe he was one of those undercover plainclothes detectives who watch shoppers. well, when Walmart realized I was verbally assaulted by one of their own employees with the whoring slut name, they tried to fudge the fact by making it appear that he was just a customer. Whoever this guy was, employee or customer, he had a lot of disdain for women to call an elderly woman or any woman a whoring slut. And absolutely apropos of nothing, because she wasn't wearing a mask, there isn't even any logic to bring sex into it. You see what I mean? I waited outside the parking lot for the police to come, well away from the Walmart doors. The Walmart Paladin security guy, Isaac, and the Walmart blonde-haired manager were also waiting outside, close to the doors. The manager was on the phone to the police, I assume. The police showed up, and she gives the file number of the case, and there was a Constable Chris Froats. He's the man who searched her purse, took her picture, and gave her date of birth and address to the Paladin manager, Constable Janine Boyer and Constable Bawa Sidhu. When the police officers arrived, I was first talking to Constable Bawa Sidhu. She was reasonable enough at first and was listening to my story of the doctor's mask exemption letter and how I was called a whoring slut. I explained that all I wanted was the manager's name, so I could go home and deal with this complaint in a letter form. And Heather likes to write letters. She's very articulate. I think it's so typical of the arrogance of power. Why would the manager not give her name? And, the fact is, it's easy enough to find the name. But that's another story. I mean, this is just plain bad behavior. I explained that all I wanted was the manager's name so I could go home and deal with this complaint in a letter form. I made it clear to the police I will not be shopping at this Walmart again. Then Constable Chris Froats interrupts and tells me to listen. He told me I could never go into the Walmart again for 1 year. I explained I already told Walmart I will never be back. So we're all on the same page here. This is what is at least in Ontario is called a trespass to property letter, this has a certain legal force. If you return during this time, you can be charged. Constable Bawa Sidhu then said I was under arrest, and she and Constable Froats put handcuffs on me. Can you imagine that? A woman in her late 50s or 60s, handcuffed. Just talk about police state. I asked, what am I being arrested for? Constable Sidhu said I was being arrested for disturbing the peace. When I was in the cruiser, Constable Bawa Sidhu said I was assaulting people and coughing on people. She said it was on tape. And Heather says she didn't do anything of the sort. I explained how I know Sandy, the door checker, because she's a friend of my daughter. I said I only tapped on Sandy's shoulder to get her attention to tell her I'll never talk to me again. While I was in the cop cruiser, parked in front of the Walmart entrance, Constable Chris Froats had my purse on the front of the cruiser. He was going through everything in my purse and wallet and making lots of notes on his little writing pad. I think that search is illegal, actually. While I was still in the cruiser, because all he had to do was to ask her for her ID. She had her ID, but he went through a lot of the other documentation and things in her purse. While still in the cruiser, Constable Chris Protz asked for my birth date and address to give to the Paladin security guy, who was named was Isaacs. He's standing right there. I said, I do not want Paladin having that information. Constable Frotz then verbally gave the Paladin manager, Isaac, my DOB, or date of birth. I was then given a Walmart Canada Corp notice prohibiting entry, and when I put this up on the internet, and I already have, you can see it there. And I noticed my address is listed on this form, so Constable Frotz gave Paladin my date of birth, name, and address against my wishes. By the time I was let out of the cruiser, I was standing in front of the cruiser with my hands still on. Sorry, with my handcuffs still on. The Constable Chris Frotz said he wanted to take my picture, and I said no. Constable Frotz then took my picture with my handcuffs on for a cell phone. I'm not sure if this cell phone belonged to the Paladin security man, Isaac, or Constable Frotz. But Constable Frotz took my picture. Unbelievable. And the sign, Heather Gillies. This is absolutely outrageous. You see what's going on? You don't obey you protest. And all she was doing is trying to get the manager's name. And they call the police. Now, they arrest her. Now, that I think, I think is a classic form of intimidation. Very few people have ever been arrested. I don't believe Heather has ever been arrested. You know, she's a late 50s or early 60s woman. I mean, how many people of that description have been arrested? Well, not very many. So just the very procedure of having handcuffs put on you, it will stay with you for a very long time. This is really intimidating. And that's exactly what it was meant to be, intimidating. That's what they want. I've been handcuffed once, though actually not by the police, but by mall security, and that's another story for another time. But it really is intimidating. And you know, all sorts of things go through your mind. Oh, they'll take me down to the police station and they'll book me, and then will they keep me in the cells, or for how long? And it's meant to shake her. I don't think they ever had any intention of charging her. So Heather's not charged with anything. But she has been slapped with this letter from the Walmart security that she's banned from Walmart, any Walmart in Canada, apparently, for a year. I think we've got to fight back against these people. The just the arrogant businesses with their arbitrary rules that they impose upon their customers. And you know, I think the word that has got to go out is this. They like no shoes, no shoes, no shirt, no mask, no service. I'll take that one step further. No mask, no service, no customers, no business. Now, it may be hard to fight back against Walmart, but if you can, you know, if you can find other stores, then boycott them. And this is the second thing. If you're going to do that, let them know. Let them know, I'm boycotting you because of the way you treat your customers. I'm boycotting you because you want to impose the requirement that I wear a dog mask to shop at your store. Well, you can keep your store and keep your dog mask, but you won't have me as a customer. You know, if a significant minority of people would do that, we have some power. We don't have, in most cases, don't have to shop at Walmart. And I do know there are some geographic locations where they virtually have a monopoly. Well, okay, it's not practical there. And I do not believe in making empty threats. I think sometimes when we're angry, we tend to maybe make a threat. I don't see the point of making a threat that you either can't follow up on or won't follow up on. I think it's just a bad tactic. It doesn't have credibility. And what we must have is the credibility. I want to get back to Derek Sloan. He put out several thank yous today for people who've helped his campaign. And I thought this was a particularly good one. Earlier today, I sent out an email thanking everyone for their support during my campaign. I'd like to also give a special thanks to members of the Canadian independent media. Unlike the mainstream media, their reporting was independent of bias, independent of spin, and independent of the meddling arm of the Liberals who fund the mainstream media with your tax dollars. Thanks to Rebel News, True North, and LifeSite News, as well as news aggregator Mountain Media, a special thank you to these truth seekers, as truth tellers as well. The National Telegraph produced some great investigative journalism during the campaign that shed a lot of light on the CPC leadership. They had their Facebook page taken down and are now rebuilding it from scratch. Please help them by liking their page. The courageous Dr. Kulvinder Kaur, MD, who's been telling the truth about the pandemic, the lockdown, and medical treatments other than vaccines since the COVID-19 crisis began, often questioning or contradicting the views held and promoted by governments. For her trouble, she continues to withstand the wrath of mainstream media, the medical establishment, and government bureaucracy. Dree James, also known as Dree Humphrey, is a very entertaining and informative commentator based in Vancouver. You can follow her on her blog and look for her work on Rebel News, which recently made the wise decision to hire her. Daniel Boardman was an outstanding and very funny source of opinions, observations, and commentary during the leadership race. Daniel is the essence of independent media, as he states the truth absolutely fearlessly. Find him on Facebook and subscribe to his YouTube channel. And lastly, thank you to Laura Lynn Tyler Thompson. Laura interviewed me early in the race, and the exposure I gained from that interview really helped my campaign gain momentum. Laura is the author of Relentless Redemption, and she is an inspirational, engaging, and humorous public speaker. She now hosts a daily national daily show, Laura Lynn and Friends. Please support these courageous practitioners of real independent journalism by using by following them. Without them, all we'd have is the CBC's Rosemary Barton. And there's a picture of Rosemary Barton, fat little Rosemary, and Justin Trudeau with, you might have known it, a selfie. In the business section of the Globe and Mail yesterday, there was this urgent article, Immigration Shortfall from Pandemic, a Threat to Canada's Economy, the report says. A slowdown of immigration to Canada because of the COVID-19 pandemic threatens to derail a major source of economic and labor force growth, according to a report from the Royal Bank of Canada. You wonder how they can put their name to such nonsense. So the shortfall, well, immigration is about 70% down from the goals. The goal was about 341,000 people, and because of the
travel restrictions and the COVID and all that, it's way, way down. Which, as I commented several days ago, is actually good. Good thing. Okay. The shortfall jeopardizes the ability of the country to find employees needed in all sectors as health and elder care as the baby boom generation moves into retirement over the next few years, the report says. Hang on a sec here. The shortfall in the immigration numbers jeopardizes the ability of the country to find employees needed in sectors such as healthcare. Are they on crack cocaine? The official unemployment rate is about 10.5%. Several million Canadians lost their jobs in March and April and May because of the economic shutdown, the lockdown. Some jobs have come back, some have been rehired, many have not. In some cases, the businesses have gone under, been destroyed, and they will not come back. We need immigration to fill jobs, and we've got over 10 million people unemployed. Over 10% of the workforce unemployed. This is nonsense. What is going on, though, is they want cheap labor. Some jobs are simply going to have to pay more. Report calls on the federal government to find new ways to encourage more immigrants. Bring more in. We can't replace those white people fast enough. Canada does rely on having large numbers of people coming to the country to fuel growth. And if we see these large declines, one concern will be that people may decide maybe they don't want to come to Canada anymore. Well, that'd be good, actually, says the report author Andrew Gopsowitz, a senior economist at the Royal Bank of Canada. He goes on to say, I think it's really important for Canada to ensure the process is clear and that we still put out this attitude that we are open and we want people from the rest of the world to come to our country. Actually, I think we should put out the exact opposite. Sorry, we're full. With 10%+ unemployment, who are they kidding? And I think, you know, the basic reality has to be grasped and emphasized. It's very simple. The newcomer shows up. There's 10.5% unemployment. Only two possibilities. The newcomer will get a job. What does that mean? It means a Canadian remains unemployed. And we have to take care of that person with unemployment insurance if their eligibility hasn't run out, or welfare. Result? Canada loses. The other possibility is that the newcomer does not get a job. Well, we have a compassionate social safety network. That person will not be allowed to starve. We have to take care of that person, put them on welfare, probably in social housing and so on. Once again, Canada loses. Canada added 34,000 permanent residents in the second quarter, down 67% from the same period last year. Meanwhile, new permanent residency applications to Canada were down 80%. Good. Good. They go on to say, we've been having a huge struggle finding workers and retaining workers in this section for years, that's in the hospital. And we were only keeping it afloat by often recruiting immigrants who are willing to take on these jobs that we Canadians don't want to do. That's the old, the immigrants will do jobs Canadians won't do. No, some immigrants will do jobs Canadians will not do at something like the minimum wage. What we need to do is to restructure the economy. Immigration has been used as a cheap labor expedient to keep wages down. That may be, for a business, a justifiable excuse in terms of national interest. It is not at all.
Well, this is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me. I'm going to play a couple of cuts from a CD called Queens of Country. These are women who made a great contribution over the years to country and Western music. So this is Queens of Country. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on AltRightTV.com.
When you found somebody new, I thought I never would forget you, for I thought then I never could. But time has taken all the pains away. Until now, I count the hurt once a day. Once a day. Your pardon. I
Stand by your man.
Donna Fargo, this is Paul Fromm here on the fighting side of me, back with you again tomorrow, and I sign off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me, here on altrighttv.com or whiteresistanceradio.com.
In days of yore, from Britain's shore, Wolfe, the dauntless hero, came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair domain. Here may it wave our boast, our pride, and joined in love together, the thistle, shamrock, rose, and twine, the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen, and heaven bless the maple leaf.